Welcome back to Endpoint TV. This is your host, Ron Jacobs, joined today by Dave Cliff. Welcome, Dave.
Thanks, Ron.
And so this is an exciting day because we're going to talk about another activity pack that we have created called the Security Activity Pack, right?
That's right, yep.
Now, it is true that if you look kind of at .NET 4 sort of out of the box, you get a workflow service, there's some things about security that are just it looks like they're missing, or it's hard to do, or whatever. I mean, even just early on, I made a blog post because somebody asked me, what if I say I got a service and I want Frank to be able to call the service, but not Joe, and I want to put in the web config like the identities of who I want to be able to call the service. So I wrote up a sample, but it involved kind of a low level service authorization manager reads a config. So that's sort of a WCF kind of extensibility hook. Mm-hmm. But then there were a lot of people who wanted to do things inside of the workflow itself, kind of make security decisions inside there. And so the Security Activity Pack does this kind of thing, right?
Yeah, it addresses some of these things. Now, what we did is we looked at the story for Workflow 4 and security. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, we were able to leverage a lot of the WCF extensibility points that are there, things like service authorization managers, username password validators.
Yeah.
And a lot of those are still available to you when you build a workflow service, which is great.
Uh-huh.
In fact, you want to make a lot of authorization decisions at the messaging layer before the message reaches the workflow.
Right.
In many scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
But there are there were kind of a number of gaps in our story, and what we were trying to do with the Workflow Security Pack is address some of those gaps, demonstrate that, hey, there is extensibility here, but we can obviously improve the experience. And that's what we did. We came up with a bunch of activities that were really just wrappers over existing extensibility, mm-hmm. but enabled you very easily to implement some of these scenarios that were a little bit too difficult in WF4.
Cool. So now before we go and show all of this, let's just set the groundwork here. This is like the state machine and the ADO.NET activity packs. It's available on CodePlex.
That's right.
Right? It's at wf.codeplex.com. You can go get it, download it, you can get the source, and you can use it in your project today if you want to.
Yep.
But you must understand what?
Well, the fact is, I mean, given it's an out-of-band release, it's not something that we support in terms of the code itself.
Okay.
So when you take the source code and the DLLs, it's on you.
Yeah.
That's your code to use.
Great. And have fun with it. And there's no guarantee that it will work that way in the next release or something like that.
That's right.
It's sort of just experimenting. But hey, this is better than the old days. In the old days, we would have just said, hey, you got to wait a couple of years and then we'll fix that.
That's right.
So now we're like, no, we're going to put it out now. You can use it if you want, just with those caveats.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, one more thing that I'd like to add there. One of the big things is getting these kind of releases out on CodePlex. I mean, it's invaluable for us to get your feedback in terms of, hey, we're looking at these scenarios.
Oh, right.
We make it clear to you, the customer, that, hey, we're interested in addressing these in a future release. And if you want these in a fully supported way in the .NET framework in a future release, we want you to come talk to us and tell us about the experience of this stuff. And tell us what sucks about it, tell us what's great about it, and we'll be able to take that feedback and roll it in.
And that's so important because so many times, people will say, wow, I wish this didn't work this way. But then it's like, well, it's too late to change it now and all that. Here's your chance. Tell us now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we can get it the way you want. Okay.
Exactly, yeah.
Cool. So let's see what you've built here.
Cool. So the Workflow Security Pack is, as I mentioned, a set of activities that are used to address some of the security scenarios that that we just didn't really address in a first-class way in WF4.
Okay.
And the core scenarios, there's really four of them. The first one is around impersonation.
Okay.
So this is taking an existing Windows identity that's flowing in as part of a message.
Mm-hmm.
I want to impersonate that identity throughout the workflow as it executes.
Right.
And we've seen this from a number of customers who've been trying to do this. We're very excited to get out a solution that shows exactly how you can do this.
So if you said, like, when I receive a message, I want to update the database under the identity of the sender or something, or maybe I have to call another web service with their identity or something. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the impersonation scenario is one that we definitely wanted to target. The next one was around authentication using username and password token.
Okay.
And one thing you'll notice pretty quickly in using WCF security is that, hey, I don't have this username password authentication mechanism or credentials that I can specify in web.config.
Right.
And that makes a lot of sense, actually. You probably don't want to go store your username and password in config.
bad idea.
Yeah, bad idea. So what you do with the WCF service today is that you can actually set the credentials directly on your channel factory, directly on your client proxy.
Right.
We didn't expose that extensibility in workflow 4 on the send activity.
Ah, okay.
So that was one gap that we absolutely wanted to fill. We wanted to show you, hey, you know, for easy username password scenarios, here's a simple way to do it.
So if I need to call a web service that somebody else created and I add a reference, I need a way to put my username and password in that message, you know, before I call it.
That's right.
And that's what this does.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Now, the third scenario was around authorization. Mm-hmm. So there's certain very common authorization mechanisms that people use with WCF services today.
Mm-hmm.
One is the service authorization manager we talked about before.
Right.
And that one is fully supported. It's WCF extensibility, plugs into workflow service host beautifully.
Right.
No problem.
Okay.
The other one that's pretty common is using principal permission attribute.
Right.
And I think that was one I remember you asking about specifically.
I did. Yeah.
And so that was one that we wanted to address as well. So how do I enforce a particular user role or a particular Windows user on a call into the workflow?
Okay.
So getting principal permission attribute in there was really important. And then finally, the fourth one is around delegation.
Oh, okay.
And what we did is we kind of looked at some of the scenarios. We actually had a lot of customers who were asking about, hey, how do I take this Windows Identity Foundation thing that's been put out on MSDN, and how do I integrate that with workflow services?
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
Yeah. And so we looked at that scenario. We're like, wow, claims-based delegation is a really kind of a cool scenario. It'd be great if you had a nice declarative model for using SAML tokens in workflow and then being able to you know attach them to your outgoing messages.
Cool.
And so that's the last scenario that we've been looking to address as well.
Awesome. Okay, so you're going to show me some of this working?
Yeah, let me show you some
All
of
right.
this. So here what we got is we're in the workflow designer. I've got a simple XAMLX file here, and in the what you'll notice is when you install the workflow security pack, you get a set of 7 new activities that show up in your toolbox here.
Cool.
So these are under the security tab, and we can basically walk through what each of these activities is and how to use them. So the first one that I call your attention to is the operation context scope. And so you can see in this workflow, I've got this actually rooted in my workflow service.
Uh-huh.
And you might be thinking to yourself, well, why is this a kind of a security-related activity? Well, it turns out that one of the scenarios that you were talking about was,
right,
how do I get the security information or the identity of the caller,
right,
in the workflow? How do I see that information?
Yeah.
And this activity will actually make operationContext.current, which is something that WCF programmers are likely very familiar with.
Right.
Gives you access to things like the incoming message properties and headers and things about the identity, the service security context.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. That's so helpful.
Yeah.
In fact, I have an app that I need to go put this in right now.
Awesome. There you go. So we released this activity, and what it does is effectively makes operation context ambient no matter what workflow thread is executing underneath. So it basically makes it so that you can access this thing. Doesn't matter what workflow thread you happen to be on underneath the covers. We'll always make it available for you.
Cool. Okay.
So that's the first activity. The next one you'll see is kind of the next scope down is the impersonating receive scope.
Mm.
And this is the one for impersonation that I mentioned.
Okay.
So This one takes a receive, kind of similar to what you would see in transacted receive scope, and within the body will impersonate that user that's been flowed in. So this does assume taking in Windows identity, but it does support some other scenarios as well. But it allows you to impersonate that identity throughout the body of the workflow, which is really, really important. So within the flowchart, if we dive into here, there's another couple of activities that we actually use within this scenario. So one is called the token flow scope here. And the token flow scope is for flowing a security token from the workflow down as part of the message. So any send activity that's within this scope will actually pick up the tokens that are enlisted as part of this token flow scope.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And so that's when we get into some of these other tokens. So you'll notice that the first three activities on the toolbox here, you've got get bootstrap token, get SAML security token, and get username security token. These are some of the security tokens that we thought, hey, these might actually be interesting within workflow for you to access.
Okay.
And so what we've done here, I've used the get bootstrap token, and what this does is it gets the incoming token. So I've received a message. I'm going to grab the existing token that's on that message, and then I'm going to use it for an outbound call.
Okay.
So this is kind of the delegation scenario that we were talking about before.
Right.
The next activity we got is the get username security token. So here I am, I'm initializing a username security token, passing in a username password, very simple. And just because it's in within a token flow scope, it'll flow it on the send activity as usual.
Oh, good. Okay.
And then finally, a little further down here, I've got the get SAML security token activity. And this one's actually built using messaging under the covers. So we're going to go out and call an STS, a security token service,
right,
and retrieve a SAML token from that service.
Ah, okay.
And so this is when you start getting into, you know, federation and the need for security token services.
Right.
Now you're probably, I don't know how much you're into the security space.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, you love it? Awesome. So that's one thing that we've seen quite a bit of pickup on is the idea of this federated security. I was kind of frustrated. Are you a book lover?
Uh-huh.
You love reading books?
Sure.
Yeah. So have you used MS Library internally?
Yeah,
here?
I have.
So we've got this service called MS Library that allows you to go out and, you know, borrow books from the Microsoft Library internally.
Right.
And it's a great, great service to have. It also hooks up with other book providers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is great. I mean, it allows you to go into MS Library. You're able to go check out books from other book providers, you know,
okay,
that Microsoft's hooked up with.
Right.
It's really cool. The only problem that I found with going out and checking books out from some of these external book publishers is that it's kind of annoying. I have to not only use my own credentials, but I have to set up a new account with them.
Oh, yeah, that's annoying, yeah.
It's such a pain. And it's just one of those things that you kind of look at and you're like, why? You know, what? We have federated identity. Why,
yeah,
you know, why can't we just set up the system such that it can accept, you know, tokens from, you know, from Microsoft?
Sure, sure.
And so that's kind of the scenario here. If we jump to the diagram. So what I've got here is I've got MS Library portal, and through the portal, I'm going to just impersonate using the identity that's accessed.
Right.
So this is, you know, my Windows identity internal to Microsoft.
Right.
And it's going to call into the workflow,
mm-hmm,
and the workflow is actually going to do this. It's going to impersonate my user identity, and it's going to look if MS Library has the book that I'm looking for.
Okay.
And so it's going to use the out-of-the-box, or actually, sorry, I should say the wf.codeplex.com ADO.net activities to do this.
Right.
So that scenario that you were talking about, calling a database under an impersonated identity,
yeah,
that's one we absolutely want people to, you know, to pick up and use because we understand it's important.
Cool. Okay.
So we're going to call into MS Library. We're going to see if that book exists there.
Mm-hmm.
If it is, we're going to check it out and we'll return.
Yeah.
If not, we're going to actually go off and we're going to talk to this other external book publisher,
okay,
via an STS. So we're going to call We're going to use username password authentication with kind of a well-known Microsoft account that we'll assume that they've set up with it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to call and it's going to pass my Windows identity as this act as token. So this is the delegation part.
Right.
And it's going to retrieve a SAML token. It's going to call back into the vendor and say, hey, I'm Microsoft. I'd like to check out this book on behalf of this person.
Ah, perfect.
So that's the scenario. So
okay.
It's pretty sweet scenario for using the security pack, because I can go in and I can implement this operation effectively as a workflow.
Oh, that is awesome. Okay.
So this is the workflow that we were looking through before. We'll jump back up to the top here. So I've got an operation context scope. I got an impersonating receive scope. I'm going to receive a message to check out a book. Then I'll jump into the flowchart. And here what I'm going to do is first I'm going to check an MS library using the SQL out-of-the-box activities.
Okay.
And if it's there, I'll just return that, hey, we've reserved it from MS library.
Okay.
So we'll actually go update the database under the context of that user.
Right.
If not, then we'll go down this path in the flowchart.
Okay.
And this is where I will retrieve the existing user that I'm impersonating.
Right.
I'll go off, and here I've just written a custom activity to retrieve the password from a file.
Right.
So, and then I'll go and use the Microsoft account to call out to that STS.
Okay.
With both those tokens, the call out will be this get SAML security token activity, and then finally I'll make the get book call.
Okay.
So you can already kind of see all of these pieces moving within the workflow very easily. It's very, very nice and declarative.
Yeah.
You got a nice approach for building out this operation.
Cool.
So what we can do is we can run this. So I've got this actually hosted in IIS. So I can go off and I've got this one already set up. So I'll run the background processes here. This is the STS and the actual book vendor, the publisher. And then I can go in to IIS. I'll go look for my particular site. There it is, my portal. And here I've just kind of hacked up. I've got to start it first. Let's do that. Okay.
Is the app pool running?
Maybe the app pool is not running. It is stopped. Good call.
There you go.
Debugging on the fly. I love it. All right. So here I've just kind of hacked together a very simple ASP.NET page, and this will allow me to check out particular books. Now, these first two, these are actually available via MS Library.
Okay.
So if I click borrow, that's going to go off, and that will just simply, you know, look at the database, say, oh, great, I've got that book.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out on your behalf.
Okay.
This last one, this one will actually go off and call the STS. So if I we'll resize this so we can see some of our other windows. And what happens if I click borrow here, this one's going to go off, and it's actually going to invoke the STS. So you can see in the background here, I'm issuing a token. I've authenticated my username password. That's my Microsoft account.
Okay.
And then I've gone off and I've reserved the book. So here, this is the reserving the book from the external book publisher. You can see that it's passed in both the identity of the username password token, but also the actor.
Ah, good.
Which is great.
Okay.
So you can see both of those show up. So that's basically how how these activities work.
That is just super cool. Now, so here's what we need to do, Dave. We got to put this code out on Code Gallery. So we're going to share this with the public.
Awesome.
So you can get this. You can go to CodePlex and get the activity pack and the ADO.NET pack, and you get the whole thing, right? And then they can take this home and play around with it and learn how this works.
Yeah, and then after you've learned how to use it, you've maybe you struggled with some of the things, like some of the configurations or the user model. That's the feedback we want to hear. So by all means, on wf.codeplex.com, give us some feedback.
Yeah, that would be cool. So in questions and whatever, if we want to know where you struggle and how to make it work, how to make it better.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, I'm so glad to have this. It's been a long time coming. We've needed it. Man, it's just huge. And so thanks so much for sharing it with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ron.
And we'll see you next time on Endpoint TV.